Let's have prayer. We got a lot to cover in a short space of time. We have a lot to cover in a short space of time. I want to really...
Oh, we got one unhappy little voice. Now I have to tell everybody. It's my little guy.
Oh, is he okay?
He will be okay. He is... He's having to sit with mommy this morning because
he doesn't like that too much.
No, he doesn't, but you know, we don't.
Yeah,
like
yeah, discipline is important. I will never step in between that. Let's have prayer so we can get started. Let's have prayer so we can get started. Heavenly Father, we're grateful for your loving kindness and tender mercies. We recognize that all that we do is because of the total sufficiency of Jesus Christ. Mm-hmm. Come into our midst, teach us, O Lord. Mm-hmm. And I pray that our hearts and minds would be transformed and our spirits renewed as we look to methods of evangelism that would garner souls into your kingdom. Bless us now, we pray, in Jesus' name, amen. Okay, today I'm going to attempt to push through two presentations and do one activity with you in the short time we have. So please, we're going to go kind of quick today, but at the same time, I want you to capture it, okay? So yesterday... Can anybody tell me what was your favorite takeaway from what we did yesterday?
I like the storm.
You like the?
The storm.
The storm? Oh, you were here in the afternoon. Okay, yeah, that was an interesting storm, right? Probably the best storm you've ever been a part of, right? All right, what was your favorite takeaway? Anything you took away that you really connected with yesterday? Anybody want to share?
Thing, and that was really refreshing.
Right. Okay. Fun. That first meeting should only be fun. Just enjoy. Just have a great time. All right. Any other takeaway?
Yeah. With the continuation of that level of kind of camaraderie enjoyment at each of the meetings. In other words, we just don't sit down and say, okay, let's have prayer, let's begin our Bible study.
Absolutely. Okay.
Have some of that each time.
Right. And we're going to talk more about that today. Okay. Anybody else? Your takeaway. Favorite takeaway from yesterday. Anybody else?
Laid back and relaxed.
Keep your group laid back and relaxed. That's all you want to do. Have it so relaxed that people would be making decisions and would not even have the... And would not even have the consciousness that they are making such powerful decisions, life-changing decisions in their own experiences. Beautiful. Anybody else?
The invitation is like a wedding invitation. How impressive is that?
Mm. Yes.
Totally awesome.
Make the wedding make your invitations like wedding invitations. Huh? That's beautiful. What you want to show them right up front is that you take this group life very seriously, and they would see it by the quality of your presentation, and that's your first real point of contact with them from a literature standpoint. So make it impressive. Okay, anybody else? Then we move on. If not,
do you want to hear regrets?
Regrets. Oh my, you couldn't be here yesterday. Listen, I got your message. I got your message right away that you could not be here. And we lamented that even though you missed half of your life, God still has a bright future for you.
Thank
all right.
Thank you for grace.
All right. Wonderful. Okay. So let's look at some practical tips. Practical tips. And you would find this in the leader's guide, those who have it. Practical tips for you as you lead your small group. All right, take notes if you need to, all right, so that you'll capture the essence of it. All right, the first practical tip goes back to what we started earlier. Remember that you first have to make a commitment to your own personal prayer experience. Make a commitment that as you lead your group, it's going to be you, God, and your group. Make that connection so deep, so strong, so powerful that you will not even have time for the devil's imps and his distractions, because you will be connected to God's attractions. Ain't that wonderful? With God, you have his attractions, therefore you avoid the devil's distractions. So make sure you make a commitment. All right? Protect confidentiality. This is critical and crucial here. People will come to your group and share their lives. They will share their experiences. Some of them will be really deep to the core of their beings. Because when people get comfortable, that's what they naturally do. They feel open, and with openness, they are willing to share. Please, I repeat, please, protect confidentiality. In fact, you will see in the manual, there is a contract in there that we ask a small groups to sign, stating that they are willing to honor each other by protecting the confidentiality of the group. We take it that seriously. I was a part of a group. And while in that group, a young man walked in and felt so comfortable enough to tell us that he was gay. He sat in the group and I saw eyes popped open. And he was very, very comfortable in the group. The next week we got to church, somebody came to me and said, "Pastor, somebody from the group approached me and told me that you have a gay person attending." Immediately I was incensed with righteous indignation. That's something you just don't do. We discussed confidentiality at the beginning of the group, just like you would find there in the manual. You discuss that, you talk about it, you connect with that, so that they would know this is what we are trying to accomplish. We cannot leak out information from the group. We are doing life together and we keep it within the group. Now, if somebody comes in the group and say, "You know what? I feel like I want to just shoot some people up. And maybe next time I'm going to come and I'm going to shoot some of y'all." Now, you don't keep that a secret. All right, so you use your discretion. You understand? And you let them know that, hey, we protect confidentiality. But if it's going to really be a point where we have to report something to the authorities, then that's a different thing. Okay? But please, protect confidentiality. Plan ahead. We kind of talked about that. The leader must always have within his or her grasp a beautiful picture of what the small group would be like. Come right in. Small group leaders, watch this. If you're sleeping, wake up. Small group leaders, come right in. Welcome. Welcome, Lloyd. Small group leaders, and if you need to write this down, write it. Small group leaders are people who live in the future. And you return to the present to take your group with you to that future that you have already seen. How does that work? As the leader of the group, you have already envisioned the experience that you want the group to go on along this 10-week journey. You, in many instances, have lived it already in your own mind. You have already looked to the end and saw that communion service that you want to have with your group. And now you come back and you start to tell them about it. You start to plan. So it means that you are already ahead of them. They should never be ahead of you. You always live in the future and come back and bring your group along with you to the future that they have not seen yet. Which means that a small group leader is never unprepared. You are always prepared to lead your group. And even if you don't know the answer to the challenge that you face in your group, you know one who knows it. Yes. So pray. Bathe the experience in prayer. But you must always plan ahead. Celebrate special days. These are just practical tips I'm giving you. Celebrate special days. If somebody has an anniversary, make that a big deal. Oh, we welcome you. Come, we open the circle for you. Come right in. Oh, yeah. Okay? We want you to celebrate these. That means if somebody has a birthday in the group, or all those who have a birthday during the months that you might be meeting, you make it a big celebration. Make it a huge thing so that they would feel as though these people are not just invested in me accepting some doctrines, they are invested in my life. Make it a big deal. Man, I've seen groups that had birthday parties for members of the group. I've seen groups give gift cards to get massages to couples that have anniversaries. I mean, I've seen it. They just made it a big deal. All right. People are connected when they feel like they belong. And when you are there for their special days, they will never forget it. One group even decided, we're going to celebrate our spiritual birthdays. So they remember the time that they were baptized, and they all have a wonderful celebration. I mean, find ways to celebrate special days in your group. People would feel as though they are invested in, you're invested in the experience. Access partners. This is something that I created that is really, really beautiful and works like a charm. There's something in all of our spiritual lives that we can never discount, and that is accountability. Accountability. So, an access partner is more than a prayer partner. That's why I didn't call it a prayer partner. An access partner means that you connect with somebody in your group, organized by the leadership of the group, actually. You connect with that person, okay? And two times, or let me put it this way, no less than two times out of the week, you connect with that person via telephone, via social media, in person, and you share your spiritual journey with that person, meaning you are giving them access to what you and the Lord are working through, are going through, okay? And as you give them access, you share what you want to share, nothing more than you want to share, okay? And you allow that person to share what he or she wants to share. Watch this now. After you would have done that, then you come together in a meaningful prayer for you and for the person rather, and yourself and the entire group. Access partners should be rotated every 2 weeks. It's my recommendation that you rotate them. Why? Because you don't want to get anything started in your group that you can't finish. So why are you still calling my husband after all these weeks? No. When you rotate them, you give an opportunity for others to pray with others who they probably would not get the chance to pray with on a normal basis. Okay? And you protect against all of those evil wiles that the devil may try to pull up. Okay? Access partners are critically important because they help with accountability. Okay? And an access partner could ask, okay, so did you study your lesson? Group time is coming up in a few days. Are we ready for it? Are we ready to share? Accountability. All right. Hey, how about your journaling? Did you spend a few moments journaling your time with God this week? So all of that happens in the access partner realm. All right. And I have some things that are outlined in the book related to that. Okay. Let's go. Some other practical tips. Ready? Other practical tips. I was only able to list these, but they're in more detail in the book. Watch this. If your group does not do service projects in the community, it will die. 100%. It will die. So whatever your core group decides that the group will do, make sure that it happens. Do not sacrifice this for anybody or anything. Service projects allow people to put the gospel on their hands and feet and take it to where people are. So, in your community, you will no doubt have a number of projects that may be going on. You could go to the authorities and adopt a highway and decide that you're going to keep that clean for the city. You can go to homeless shelters and volunteer. Let me tell you about one we did. Don't stone me. Okay? I'm telling you ahead of time, don't stone me.
You promise.
Thank you.
This stones are a bit rare around here.
In New York City, I was working with a group of young adults in a small group. The small group name was called Second to One. Second to One. That's a cute way of saying Jesus is first, I am second. So we decided that on Sabbath, we were going to leave church. I'm the pastor now. I'm leaving church with these young adults, and we are going into a homeless shelter. The name of the homeless shelter is called POTS. P-O-T-S. It's really an acronym for Part of the Solution. POTS. They feed more than 700 people a day. So this Sabbath, we contacted them and we said, we have a group of about 15 young adults, and we want to come and give the staff the day off. And we are going to take over the whole operation of this homeless shelter. When we did that, the people said, what? Y'all are coming to just, yes, you guys point what you want us to do, and we're there for you. So the young adults were cooking chicken. I said, don't stone me. Rice, vegetables, stocking the shelves, sweeping the floors, and mopping. We prepped everything, and then the doors open. And people came. And we stood behind there with our aprons and all, and we served them. We served them. We served them. By this time, the message had gotten back to the church. Oh, the pastors with them young adults, and they are at pots, breaking the Sabbath. Oh, my Lord. What am I going to do? I didn't pay that any mind at the moment. We continued what we were doing. Served the people. And then we cleaned up. And when we were done, we went into a side room that they had there. And with those 15 young adults, we had a debriefing session. And I heard things from them like this. Pastor, we had never spent a Sabbath like this before. Pastor, we were touching way more people's lives than if we were sitting in church. Pastor, could we do this again next week? Pastor, I feel like I'm invested in this. I want to do this more. These were the comments coming from young adults. And one said, Pastor, I watched a lady. She took her little son. She had 7 children on that line with her. She took her little son and sent him on the inside to get food. And when he came out with the food, she took it and she gave it to his little sister. And she said, go back again. And 7 times he went around in the line. And Pastor, I heard her, because I was in charge of the door. I heard her say, now I'm going to go in, because we don't have any food for tomorrow. So I'm going to get some food now so that we could have it for tomorrow. So all y'all stay here with your food, and I'm going to try and get some for tomorrow's meal. And she said, Pastor, tears came to my eyes, because I have seen with my own eyes that I am far more blessed than these people who are coming. And if I didn't come here, I would never have gotten this experience. That probably was a weird way to keep Sabbath. But I think about what Jesus said. If your donkey falls in a ditch, it's okay for you to pick him up and bind up the donkey on the Sabbath. And those same people believe that if a human fell into a ditch and break his leg or her leg, they had to wait with that pain until Sabbath was over to get the necessary medical attention. And I said to them, I can live knowing that we helped a whole lot of donkeys out of holes today by feeding them. I can live with that when I go back to church. The end of the story was beautiful. The whole church now feels as though they need to go and do something on Sabbath. Service projects are very important for your group. They will put shoes on the gospel, gloves on the gospel, so that people can get what it means to be recipients of the grace of God. Finish what you start. Do not allow yourself to be pigeonholed into not completing the tasks that you have as a group. Many groups are good starters but weak finishers. As the leader, you are pressing the group to complete tasks. Be task-oriented. Even though it's informal, still hold them accountable for the various things that the group want to accomplish. You will have goals and ideals, and you would have things that you want to put on your priority list to be done during the 10 weeks you're together. Make sure you stick to the task at hand. Remember the six F's. Now, I will come to this some more later on. There are six F's that are on page 28 of the manual. I believe these six F's are critical. And as a leader, you need to make sure that these six F's are well represented in your group. Ready for them? Food, fun, faith, friends, fellowship, follow-up. Thank you. Let's move on. I'm only kidding. All right. In every group meeting, at every group meeting, you must have food. Do I need to say that again? In every group meeting, you need to have food. But make sure that when you have food, it is a food that you can manage and sustain. I love Jamaican food. Anybody ever been to Jamaica? Man, the food. Ackee and salt fish and roast breadfruit and they have this thing they crush with cassava, they call it Bami. I mean festival and fried dumpling and the thing they call mackerel rundown, where they mix up some coconut milk with the the food in Jamaica is amazing. So I was pastoring a church and we were doing small groups, and so I decided that I'm going to go to the first meeting, because all first meetings are social meetings. All first meetings are social meetings. And so as the pastor, we had about five groups or six groups going on in this church. Okay? So that first night, I get to go and visit all the groups. So I get to eat six times. Couldn't eat all six times. But they're giving you food to take home. And so, oh, pastor, no problem. Take some food. Okay, I'll be happy to do so. So I got to this group. And it was heavy with Caribbean food. Hoo-wee. Man, I ate some good ackee and salt fish and boiled banana and fried dumpling. I mean, the whole works. And man, I said, man, this was my favorite experience. Next week, I'm coming back. I got back next week, and the people brought out cheese and crackers. I'm like, no. We gotta have a meeting. Come, let's talk about this. You set me up. You gave me all that good, nice food, and now the next week I'm coming and you're gonna give me cheese and crackers? I said, no. That's too much of a fall off. So I simply said to them, start small. It's better for you to build it than for you to fall off of it. So protect yourselves. A railing on the top of the hill is better than an ambulance in the valley. Protect yourself. Don't start out with such a big meal and then, you understand, you can't sustain it. But food must be at every meeting. Fun. Every meeting must have some fun. As I said, I'll flesh these out some more. All right? Every group must have faith. That means that you are learning about your faith. The Advent faith is what we are a part of. So every meeting, we are learning something about the Advent faith and the Jesus. Let me say it, oh Heavenly Father. Thank you for dropping it in my spirit. The Jesus of the doctrines of the Adventist faith. No doctrine makes any sense without Jesus. You got it? Faith. Friends. We want to develop friendship, where we connect one with the other, where we show love one for the other. Fellowship. That means that we are not just looking at each other as friends, but we are actually doing activities that will bond us together in the bonds of fellowship. Okay? So it moves beyond what we say and what we see and the connections that we make. No, we are communing together. That's a word that really connects with commonality. So because we have so much in common, we are fellowshipping together. So food, fun, faith, friends, fellowship, follow up. When people come to your group, if anybody is missing at any time, even if it's one meeting, the leader should follow up. Call them. Create a culture of follow up. If somebody is to bring the mac and cheese for a social that you're having, follow up with them. After they commit, call them. Follow up. Touch base. Your life can't be too busy to follow up. It's just inherent in small groups that you follow up. So remember those six F's. Be available. Small group leaders are always available. That means that people should respect your time and they should respect you, but they should never get the feeling that you are so busy trying to push a doctrine down their throats that you do not really care for their personal lives. Mm-hmm. Be available for them and let them know that you're available to them. All right. Give them your business card. Give them your phone numbers. Give them your email address. Let them know that you are available. People know when you're faking it. They know when you're not so interested in their lives. Please don't let it be said about you. Social media. In the world we live in today, you cannot have a small group and not have a social media presence. In the groups that we do, we have a chat room we put together in WhatsApp. And we have daily testimonies and prayers. We have a daily messages of encouragement that we put up there. Each member of the group have the option to post it up there. And we share that and we encourage each other. All right. There's a social media network that many people don't know of that's really free called Slack. Anybody ever heard about Slack? Okay. Go download it and you'll see. It's really designed for team building. And so you can have different channels that you can actually communicate with people on. So each member of the group could have their separate channel. And if you're my access partner, Kingly Keith, and I want to connect with you, I could do so without disturbing the whole group. And just you and I could have a conversation and connection. And it's fully free. Okay? And now, if I'm the leader of the group and I want to get a message out to everybody in the group, then I'll just put at everybody and just type the message and everybody in that group gets the message same time. All right? It's a beautiful app that I found that works very well when it comes to social media. Okay? During your 10 weeks, one night, excluding that first night, should be only for fun and games.
Excluding the first night?
Excluding that first night.
So in addition to?
In addition to, okay. Yes. In addition to. Okay? You want to create a culture where people see you as real. There are a lot of people who still think the Adventist Church is a cult. Sad. But they want to see that you're real, that you know how to have good Christian enjoyment. So make sure that that's a part. Allow the Holy Spirit to intervene. You may be at a point in your experience, guys, where you want to move to the next point so bad. I mean, you want to get to that next point because in your mind, you have to get that content in. And it has to happen. And it has to happen really, really, because we can't end the meeting and they haven't made a decision on the topic. Oh, what am I going to do? No, don't quench the spirit. If that person has a burning desire to share, they have a point that they need to make. Fine, allow them to make their point. Don't shut them down. Even if you have to end the meeting without finishing all that you wanted to share, make sure that nobody leaves their feeling as though they didn't have their opportunity to share. Okay? So allow the Holy Spirit to intervene into your experience. Any questions on the practical tips? Any questions? All clear? As clear as mud, everybody? As clear as mud, raise your hand. As clear as mud?
As clear as
crystal, huh? Yes, sir.
Service projects.
Yes.
Have you got a list of suggestions or ideas as to where we can, like you mentioned, the food?
Yes.
Home for the homeless.
Okay.
In every city,
okay, if you go to the authorities, the emergency services authorities, they will list for you. You go to any city administrative office, because I don't know how they work here in Canada, but usually the administrative offices of a town would have all of the things that need to be done. Okay? Or you could even look in your telephone directory and you could find nonprofit organizations to partner with. Okay? I mean, it's just myriads of stuff that you can do. All right? You can find somebody in the neighborhood of one of the members of the group that's really needy and need some help, and you can go and help that person. I mean, it's just limitless, man. There are a whole lot that you can do. Okay? But there would be some thoughts that I would present on that. Anybody else have feedback they want to give?
Lyle noticed at the conference office does the community services, so if you were to call him, he would probably help you look in your community for
there you go.
A place that would help you.
Except that
he's
from Australia.
Okay, well. That's a similar
type of thing.
I got a friend in New Zealand, I can tell you.
there's a pastor in the States years ago, 15 years ago, wrote about the conspiracy of kindness. And they built a church out of serving the community. And he wrote a book. His name is Steve Sobrin. Like 105 ways to serve your community. It's a great resource.
And A Bridge Across Time is another gift book that was written about 15, 20 years ago. Doing good on the side.
Okay.
If you can get online, they may even just have some ideas there.
Yeah. The internet would be a great resource to help you too. That's correct.
Yeah, Steve Sobrin, Sjogren.
What's the name of the book?
Oh, Conspiracy of Kindness was his first book, and then his second one that just had some tangible ideas.
What was his first name?
Steve.
Steve.
Can you spell that again?
Yeah.
S-J-O?
Yeah. S-J-O-G-R-E-N. So great.
Okay. Yes.
Can I ask a question? Yes. Sorry, I stepped out, so you may have answered that question already. Now, when in your group somebody, you know, is not satisfied and wants more, and you're paying attention to that individual, and the rest of the team feels like now our progress is slowing down, how do you balance that?
We're coming to that.
Oh,
all right. Tomorrow we're gonna spend just about the whole time dealing with small group dynamics.
Okay.
And the type of people that will come to your meeting.
I'll have to see you offline because I won't be here tomorrow.
Oh,
I'm just a day.
Man, you just one day.
That's all right.
Well, stop by the ABC then.
Okay.
Stop by the ABC,
right,
and purchase the manuals.
Okay.
Because. You will definitely see there how to relate to all types of personalities that come into your group. As the leader, you need to know.
Right.
So you'll be well aware how to respond without embarrassing anybody. How to respond to let them know exactly that you want to move on. You're taking too much time, but you're not saying it that way. Okay. Oh, no. I wish I could give them to you for free, but I self-publish.
Okay.
That means that I don't have a big company backing me. All right, so.
You've got God backing
you. So I'm good. So communion with a twist. Okay? Now, in every group, I like to kind of end it with a communion service, like Jesus did, right? A communion service. But the communion service is a little different from what you would do in church. I don't recommend you to do what I have there in the manual, and I'm about to tell you, in your local church, because it may cause a problem. Jesus wanted to teach about servanthood. And so he got down and washed his disciples' feet. Did he not?
Mm-hmm.
Right. In the setting of your small group, that may not be a practical thing. That's why I said it's communion with a twist. So, what we have to relate to now is the whole matter of selfishness. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, it's not all about you as a person. It's all about connecting and relating to somebody who comes into your presence that may not be as you are. Reach out and serve. So what we do is we get some paper and we get some tape. And we put it on the backs of everybody in the room. We get it pre-done with everybody's names, nicely made up on it, with a frame all around it, all right? A nice paper frame, and we make it real nice and put their names on it. And we stick that on their backs. And so now, when it's time for us to do what would normally be foot washing, we're doing a different reality that relates to overcoming selfishness and putting the focus on somebody else. So we have everybody then go and write something or two things that you love about that person. Some things that would really give them a word of comfort and cheer to help brighten their spirits, and you write that on their backs, and everybody writes on the backs of each other. And then when we're done, we actually rip that off our backs, and everybody get to read it, and then keep it as a keepsake. Put it where you can see it every day. This is what my small group really thinks about me. And then we move into the communion service. The communion service is done. You have the bread and you have the juice. All right, the unleavened bread and the juice. And that's the same way that it's outlined there in the scriptures. All done, all beautiful, same way. Now, watch this. Something that we miss at communion services. Jesus said something really powerful. He said, so, guys, I will not eat of this supper with you again until I eat it anew with you in my Father's kingdom. So the communion service is also a statement of faith in the fact that Jesus is going to come again. And we can eat with Jesus anew in heaven. The Bible talks about the marriage supper of the Lamb, which would be akin to that final supper that Jesus had when he was here on earth. And so, at the communion, that's why I said it's with a twist, guys, we have a big cake. So after we're done with the emblems and we already prayed and have our little testimony time, now it's time to prefigure what that celebration would be like in heaven. So we have a big cake there, and everybody, we go and we eat cake and we drink and we have a wonderful time. And that signals the end of our small group experience together. We have prayer after the fellowship is done, and we're on our way. I said, don't try this at your local church. It's an experience of bonding created for your small group. All right? Please don't stone me. Please. Don't stone me. Don't stone me. It's different, but don't stone me. All right? Good. So that's the little communion with a twist. All right? What time we got? 15 more minutes?
Yeah, 15 to go.
Oh, boy. Okay. Let me exit this, and we'll start with nuts and bolts tomorrow. I want to go to a presentation that's not connected to the book, because I want you to get a feel for what happens in a small group. We'll come back to nuts and bolts tomorrow. If I don't get through all of this, there's so much information that I want to share with you. 1 week, an hour, and it's not enough. You know, it's just so much data that's there. Okay, so just give me a chance to transition right here, would you? Okay, easy does it. Small group experience made easy. Powerful insights to make your group go. And I'm sorry, I keep walking in between. It's okay, that's fine.
It's okay, you can walk.
Powerful insights to make your group grow and go rather and grow. Okay, easy does it. There are four parts to a small group meeting. Now, in the manual, this is said in a different way. Okay? Similar concept, but a different way. This has four parts. In the manuals, may I borrow this a second? You have five. Where we engage, that means we come together in transition activities. Some people call them icebreakers. Whatever version you want, it's pretty much the same thing. Well, we come together and we first engage. Okay? Then we express. That's the worship sessions where we come together and we sing and we pray and testimony, expression. Okay? Then we enrich. That's when we get enriched by the Word of God. We enter into a study experience of the Word. Then we experience. To experience means to challenge. So every week, we give the group a spiritual challenge that they have to relate to and connect with before they come back to the next group meeting, which is putting in place something that we all lack in our experiences from time to time, accountability. Okay? So, experience. So when you come back, the group will help you and hold you accountable for your experience time. Then we explore. That means that we're exploring deeper relationships, and fellowship. So this is the time at the end of the meeting where we have all the wonderful downtime. Some people may stay, some people may go, but we're drinking our drinks and we're eating our food and we're just hanging around. Remember, content isn't happening here necessarily, but process is. Remember those two words I used yesterday? Content and process. Okay? We are so content driven that we don't realize that a lot of relationship and process stuff is going on in every single group. Okay? So that's the model that I developed here. Okay? This model is a little different, but it encompasses the same exact things. It's just that I may have a couple of more steps to the journey. All right? So we got four. We got four parts of the meeting. The first one is what we call the welcome stage. Notice the arrows are all pointing inward. I'm going to give you four W's right here. The welcome stage. This is that stage when you come to the group, everybody is engaging in light chit-chatting. Those who reach early, there's nothing really going on other than you are connecting. But remember, it's process. So you're still bonding. You got it? So there's no real content coming at you just yet. You're just chilling. All right? So the welcome happens, but then when the group actually starts formally, there is a welcome phase to the meeting. All right? Then you have the second part is worship. Notice the arrow now. We were pointing inward. That's where we connect with each other. The worship now, it's pointing upward. So we are now connecting with God. All right? The Word became flesh and dwelt among us. So the Word is coming down to us. You got it? And then now, the fourth part is witness. See, the arrow's pointing out. So whatever we get in the group, we don't just sit on it and hug it tight. We are going out to share it. Four parts of a small group session. And all four parts are really important and critical for your groups to survive. Yes.
I'm sorry, you probably mentioned this yesterday, but how long is the meeting that you would recommend?
90 minutes. 90 minutes. No more than 90 minutes. We did mention that yesterday. We spent quite a bit of time on that. Okay.
Thank you.
Here we go. Easy does it, guys. This would be considered the agenda that every leader would want to connect with. I have something similar in the thing, but this is for presentation style, okay? Christ, Christ's presence, Christ's power, Christ's purpose. That's the focus all along these four points in the journey, okay? The order is welcome, worship, word, witness. So the focus is Christ when we welcome, all right? When we have worship, we want to imbibe his presence. The word is his power, and his purpose is for us to witness. You got it? The activity now, we're entering into fellowship, right? We are exalting his presence right here. I know you can't see this so well because of the exalting his presence. All right. We have the edification of the word, and we have evangelism, visioning, and prayer right here. How is it related to relationships? From you to me, when we come in the welcome phase. From us to God in the worship stage. God to us when we're in the word. And in the witness, God through us to the world. Do you get it? So that's how you would want to set your agenda in your head as to how you're going to make it through your small group experience. So let's look at it. Okay, and we are going to use this group as a model for it. So if you would now, make your circle real nice and tight and complete. Okay? I know we have a short time. I'm going to try and bullet through this as quickly as I possibly can. Okay? So you are a group. Okay? You are a group. All right? And we are in the welcome phase of the meeting. All right? Make your group a little tighter. The rule is knees should touch. Okay, that's when you know you have a bonded group, when knees touch. Okay, as far as possible. Okay, wonderful. Ain't that? Ain't you feel a little closer now? Huh? All right. So we have the welcome phase. This is the greeting, time to catch up with each other, and the icebreaker. Okay, what's the icebreaker all about? Here we go. It creates a relaxed atmosphere. The people who are going to be coming from work, the people who are going to be coming from the stresses of their own personal lives, the people who are going to be stressed out in their families, and they are coming to your group meeting. When they come there, they should get a relaxed atmosphere. You know you're doing your icebreaker correctly when everybody gets the chance to say something. If that doesn't happen, your icebreaker is not done well. Please note that. When everybody gets to say something, your icebreaker is done well. If they don't say something, give them an opportunity to participate. So it may not be speech, because some people are shy when it comes to speaking, even in a small group. Okay, but give them an opportunity to participate in the journey. This can also lead into the Bible study or worship period. But if you're doing it to relate to your Bible study, you have to be real skilled to do that, because if your icebreaker falls down and it's so close to your Bible study, you don't have much chance to recover right there. Okay, so you want to make sure that you do it up front as you begin your experience. So we're not going to be able to complete this today, I'm sure, but I want to give you an opportunity to really, you know what, let's do it different. Everybody, I'm sure, uses this, right? Do we? If you're human. We're going to start with you, Lloyd. Okay, so just take off as much as you would use. You decide whether it's number one or number two. What? Man, I'll be careful shaking your hands. Seriously?
Boy Scouts, you know. They
That's all you... Yeah. Just take off as much as you use. You decide whether it's number one or number two. All right. Man, some of you people are real modest. What? Oh my goodness. Huh? Conservative. All right.
What? Canadian with the Jamaican twist.
The Jamaican twist. All right. Wow. Okay. That's the spirit, my sister. All right, great.
Wait, just in case for later.
Okay. Now, here goes. I did say yesterday, we're going to go a little deeper, right? We were very surface yesterday and the day before. Now, what I'm going to ask you to do is hold up your paper. Okay? And now you can choose to select anybody in the group that you want to exchange papers with. Okay? You decide. Sorry. All right. You want to exchange? Okay, who you want to exchange with? Anybody? You want to keep it?
Yes.
You want to exchange with? Okay, no? All right, that's fine. That's fine. That's, no. All right. Anybody else want to make an exchange?
Yes.
Now is the time.
We
huh?
We exchange.
You exchange? Anybody else?
We exchange.
Anybody else want to exchange? All right. Anybody else want to exchange? If you want, you can keep it if you want to. Okay. No problem. You can keep it if you want to. Okay. Okay. Now, we're going to start with Skateboarding Scott. Now, you're going to hold your paper up, all right? And you're going to tear your paper ply by ply. And each ply, that's one ply, so you only have two, you tell us something about yourself. You had the opportunity to change and you decided. Now, so some people are going to be telling their whole life story, right? So let's go. Let's go. Go right ahead. Let's listen up to Scott now.
Teacher, so I spend a lot of time with teenagers. There you go.
Okay. So I'm married to one man.
Hallelujah.
Robert. I have four biological children and two adopted and two foster.
Wow.
I work for the College Ice Church and for Family Eye Care. I love Jesus. I love to pray. I love to sing. I love seniors. I can't wait for Jesus to come. And I am charged about small group.
Wow! Come on, give her a hand. Okay.
What time is
okay, Pastor. Okay. All right. I wouldn't put Pastor Potts through this misery, right? But you get a feel. I know you would want to finish this because some of you already have thoughts that you want to say. We can't because of time. I mean, that's what I say, it's just not enough time. I want to put you in a simulator to see all of how the facets work, okay? But it's really time for us to end, okay? But you all get the feel now for what we're talking about. Everybody say something. I like to put it this way. In my icebreaker, if everybody don't have a moment of laughter, the icebreaker was not as effective as it could be.
Well, so okay. Do you do the icebreaker every meeting or just the first
every meeting, every mm-hmm. single
where
one.
Do
say?
Where do you get the ideas?
Okay. Okay. In the manual.
Oh, it isn't.
In the manual, I have given you 10 weeks of small group activity that you can do.
Okay.
All related to Jesus. Okay? So, you'll see here. I deliberately did not do it doctrinally. Why? Because there are people who are definitely going to come into our groups that are not where we are. So it's better for us to come where they are so that we could just show them that we love Jesus so much. And then I recommend the second cycle, we move into an experience where we do our doctrinal beliefs. By that time, people would have already been introduced and connected to the Jesus that we love. Okay? Now, so we have 10 sessions here. Okay? And each one of the sessions, I have already put in there an icebreaker just for you. Okay? So, you have your first 10 weeks already completed. Now, from there, you can go to Google. And once you click on small group icebreakers, you put that in the search engine, and thousands of them will show up. Thousands. Okay? There are some that I create based on the experience of the group and what's happening in the group. I'll probably create something. Okay? But you can find them on Google. Google it. You have thousands of them that will show up. Any questions?
A quick question. Now, yes. The exchange of the papers, what was the meaning behind that?
Well, the meaning behind it was to just add a fun feature. All right? In fact, this is the first time that I've ever done that. Because I saw some people doing just a little, and then some people doing a lot. Okay? Which means that the leader has to always pay attention. Okay? The leader has to always pay attention to the dynamics in the group. So I saw that some people are going to be in a whole lot of trouble because they're reeling a whole lot of paper. All right? And so I said, you know what? Let me give them an opportunity. Let's give them grace. Grace would say, you know what? You can make an exchange. Jesus gives us his life, and we give him our life. And it's a little fun feature. That's all it was. Okay? So, oh boy. Okay? Now, from this phase, I don't have time, Doc. I'm done. I'm just at phase one, which is the, come on, which is the welcome phase, which is the welcome phase. Okay? The second part is the worship phase. When we acknowledge the presence of Jesus, singing happens here. Testimony happens here. This is a wonderful portion of the meeting for people to spend time in meditation. So, we all know the song? There's a sweet, sweet, come on, sing it. Spirit. Y'all sound so beautiful.
And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord.
There are sweet expressions.
There are sweet expressions on each face. And I know that it's the Spirit of the Lord.
Okay, I have to stop you here because of time. All right? But you get that? And from there, the leader now segues way into a time of either silent prayer, okay, or a time of testimony. You and your leadership team decide how you want this to go. Okay? Now, from this time, you move into your testimony. So, in the book, you would see, I have a challenge for every week. So, you will then discuss your challenge, and there's a journal there. So at this point in time, you can talk about what happened in your journaling experience. All of this can happen during the time of your worship experience. You with me now? Okay. From there, we move to the Word. And in the Word, we have the Bible study. Okay, I'm trying to move fast here, because I know Pastor Potts want to stop me right now. All right, the Bible study, please make it relational. What do I mean by relational? People who come to a Bible study, even if you're presenting doctrine to them, must leave there being able to say, I can apply this to my life in this way. I didn't just get a head full of knowledge. I can live this thing in this particular way. So all of our small group studies, no matter what we study, make it relational. Relational. When your study is relational, you're asking these three questions. Number one, what is this text or lesson saying? Number two, what is this text or lesson saying to me or us? You make it personal. First, what is it saying? In its raw context, then what is it saying to me or to us as a group? And then number three, what are we going to do about it? They're the three questions that you want to answer in every single study, because you're making it relational. Okay? At this point, I would have taken you into a brief little study. I would have asked you all to read Matthew 10 verses 1 to 8. And as you read it, you would see there Jesus calling his disciples and giving them power over demonic spirits and all the rest of that. Then I would have given you some names, okay, of disciples to enter into the experience. That way you're making it relational, guys. All right. And then I would have said, okay, you're Peter, you're Judas. You're Peter, you're Judas. You're Peter, you're Judas. You're Peter, you're Judas. And I will give all of you Peter and Judas, whoever you are. And at that point in time, you would then have to, I'll give you little cards, and you would have to write a postcard back home to your family, telling them your experience with God for that particular day, given the power and the personalities that you would have had embedded in the scripture. So you would have to act like Peter, okay? And you would have to share what you would have done with that power, what you did with the power that Jesus gave you, all right? Judas would have to do the same thing. And then we'll all exchange that just as a demo, okay, as to what relational Bible study is like, okay? Okay. I'm in trouble, Pastor. All right.
Take your time.
Okay. Acts, not a relational Bible study. I hope you can see this. This is all stuff that you would want to connect with. Okay. A relational Bible study asks not only what does this mean, but what is God saying to me or us here. It's based on real life experiences, not a collection of doctrinal texts. Just a little more on relational Bible study. All right. We are more concerned about making Christianity real than proving a point. Hello. We're concerned not only with the original characters associated with the story, but we are, but where we see ourselves in it. Okay? Got it? It accepts all opinions as equally valid. That means that you are not better than me. I'm not better than you. We are all in this journey of learning together. All right? It allows the group to grow together even when there's serious disagreement. Okay? And then finally, the witness phase. Okay? This is where we are praying for group growth. Okay? At this point, we have spirit-led prayer. Now, the prayer, you want to make sure that it is informal and it is usually done seated. There are some people who believe that God will only hear our prayer if we kneel. In a small group setting, that's not what you want. And I'm just being for real. That's not what you want. Okay? If your group comes to the conclusion that you want to kneel for prayer and all of you agree to that, then fine. Okay? But don't push it on people that they have to kneel. Okay? Because when I'm in traffic, amen. Make it conversational. You know what that means? This ain't the time to put Jesus between the cherubs. And between and where did he come from, and the constellations that bow down before him, and all this high language. No. Leave that for divine service. Amen? Okay? Make your prayer simple, conversational, and short. The most powerful one of the most powerful prayers in the Bible was done by Peter when he was sinking. He said, "Lord, save me." That's a good prayer. One verb and one noun. But it was a powerful prayer. It moved Jesus' heart and hands to action. So keep it conversational. It's also good to remember the shy people at this time. Take them, who probably would not pray in a big group, because for them, this is huge. 10 people, this is huge. So you put them in a group that's smaller. So we say, can we break up in groups of twos? They may be more comfortable praying with one person than praying in a group of 10 or 12. Also, I like to do this maybe for the first time that we are talking about prayer or asking for prayer in the group. What I like to do is this. I like to actually ask for everybody to do silent prayer. We're sensitive to those people who may not know how to pray out loud. And they can just talk with Jesus in their own hearts. Okay? So, All of this is a part of the witnessing phase. Okay? And we have special prayer for individuals. So you take prayer requests and those who, right. And then our access partners, we talked about those earlier. Okay? We have prayer for them as well. And we pray with them. So prayer is a part of the witnessing experience. After that is the, oh, I should say this here. In the witness experience, you also clinch a decision at the end of every lesson. That means that you're saying, even if it's not written, at least a show of hand, a nod of the head, something. Get them to acknowledge that the stuff that they received is real, it's true, that they can incorporate it in their lives. All along the journey, you're building so that now, when it comes to an evangelistic meeting, they have already been making decisions all along. So it's easy for them to get to the pool and be baptized. Not only that, when this happens and they make the decisions within the group is like a family for them now. And when they come into the church with a family already attached, they usually don't leave. Because they've made their decisions along with a family. Alright? So, make sure that you clinch your decision. And it could be as simple as this question. Do we all agree that what we have seen here and heard here this evening, we could make a part of our lives? And they say yes. They nod their head. That's all. As simple as that. It could be. You don't want to be too overt. Because it could seem as though you're pushing them. But they're making these little decisions. So when the bigger ones come, you know that they are prepared to do it because they have been doing it all along. All right? Then you have the afterglow. The afterglow happens after we have done taking all the decisions. The refreshments happen right here. It's informal. Some people may stay. Some people may leave. All right. And sometimes, really, this is the most important part of the meeting for some people. Because they're still trying to build trust. They're still trying to build relationship. So this may be very important for some of the people. So remember the goal. The goal of small groups is to do what, everybody? Let's say these things together. Is to what? Build. Building what? Community. Number two, life. Transformation. Number three, kingdom, growth. And once we have those three happening, we are great. So, it can't happen in just one meeting. So, social events, we talk about these already. Community service, okay? Church involvement, all right? Have retreats. Take your group out on a retreat for a weekend, and y'all just enjoy nature together with God. All of these things are powerful stuff you can do, all right? Mentoring, all right? So your access partners is a form of that. Because a lot of mentoring is happening. When you share your life with somebody, they share their life with you, and you're praying together. Mentoring happens. So you'll find that your groups happen with this. And you'll see me talk a lot about this tomorrow when we do dynamics. Okay? Adventure. That's the first part of your group. Discovery. When you start to discover things together. All right? Development. Your group starts to develop and grow, and everybody is now happy. And then maturity. The group comes to its maturity, we're all ready to end it. And when the group fully develops, it multiplies. We'll talk about that some tomorrow. When it multiplies, hey, the gain is greater than the pain. Thank you so much for your time today. Yes.
At what point would you set up access partners?
Excellent question. Access partners, I would recommend at that third meeting. Why? Because you want to hear yesterday. At the third meeting is when you're going to close the group.
Okay.
Meaning that nobody else can come in. And now you have your access partners. You're on a real trust journey from there. And you continue on to the rest of it. Okay? Great. Let's stand and have prayer so we could be on our way. Thank you so much for being patient with me. I really appreciate that. All right? Let's just hold hands right here. Let's just hold hands right here. All right? And we're going to ask Skateboarding Scott to pray for us to close the meeting.
Dear Heavenly Father, thanks so much for this time we were able to spend together here, and I pray that what we have learned and thought about here we'll be able to take and put to practice in our own lives outside of here. Please bless us with growth together as a group this week, and also individually in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. God bless you. See you all tomorrow.
I'd love to see a picture of him sometime.
I think they belong to what's his name? Yeah, I'm sorry. I have some extras.
That's great. I haven't seen him for years and years and years. We got